Good morning. Well, yesterday was a talkie day, so we have a talkie morning. We had the Awana conference here yesterday, and it was a remarkable time. It wasn't remarkable to God because he knew it was going to happen, but to us it was rather remarkable. As we enjoyed the ministry with, I think there were 64 attendees, so from the last 2 years when there were zero, this was a blessing in Delaware, and we had another 20 in staff, so it was a great day, but was really, there was two things that were really great. One was that someone in their wisdom, it might have been Andy, the IT guy, everybody sat in the middle, which was really great, because I got up here, and like, everybody was sitting in the middle, so it was nice, you didn't have to look across, and everybody was very family, but the really great part about it was the ministry was a combination. So we had our Hispanic brothers and sisters here, as well as our Anglo folks. And it was an amazing day of just fellowship and love and relationships that were built. And those, the three churches that are Hispanic that came were from Maryland, because there are no churches in Delaware with Awana that are Hispanic. So we're going to work on trying to fix that, as I'm sure there's a need here. Some of the information I've gathered in Delaware here, and kind of we're going to talk a little bit about. But it was just a great day of just real people loving on each other and connecting, and it was an encouraging day to see things happen here in Delaware. I just, not in my notes, I just wrote a quick, is the song that was just saying, you know, I'm going to be talking about community and relationships, if I can talk this morning. And the one thing that song made me think, or God put my thought here, is, you know, he says, how I need thee. And I thought, how they need you. How they need you. And they being your neighbors, your community, your family, the sibling that drives you crazy, maybe the wife or the husband that is not a believer. I know it's not uncommon to have that in relationships as well. And we need God to reveal himself to them as well, and he does. But I just want to say, in terms of community, as we dig into this, that this is a very personal message for each and every one of you. It's about relationships, and it's not about leaving these doors here today and someone else doing it, but it's about you and building your relationships, starting new ones in community. Community of the people that live around you and in your family and those you don't even know and maybe you're terrified to talk to. Those are the best ones to go after. They stretch us. Let's open up to John 4:35. All right. It's in the New Testament, fourth book in. I don't know what page that is in your pew Bible, but if there's someone next to you that doesn't look too comfortable with the Bible, get them introduced. So this message this morning, God's kind of been working with me on more recently, but just in my life overall with terms of relationships. And I think that we all realize as we get older, relationships become a little more important. And we understand them better in the dynamics of those relationships and how great they can be and how difficult and challenging they can be. This morning, in the lobby, I heard a brief conversation, I won't say anybody's name, and just about relationships and broken ones. And they're real, you know, they're real. So my kind of conversation this morning is going to be rather interactive in a sense. Though I'd like to engage you, I have to watch my time, be a good boy, and make sure we're good on time. So I'm going to do the talking, but your job is the thinking, right? I'll try to think while I talk. That would be helpful. But I want to engage you into thinking about what I'm talking about, what God is bringing here this morning. And I really would, you know, it would be so great when you leave here that it's something you've left with. It's not the message I went and heard on Sunday morning, and now I don't remember. I'm guilty of that, done that, been there several times. What was the message this morning? I don't know, but I talked to Fred. We had a great conversation. But I want you to think about what's being heard or what's being said here and engage your thoughts in about this and say, well, what do I need to do? And let's just take a moment. I'm going to give you like 10 seconds. I'm going to give them a real 10 seconds. And just close your eyes for a moment and think about and pray on. We'll give you 15 so you can pray. Think about someone that, or a family, or an individual, or a relative that you really need to build a relationship with. And the one you think of that you don't want to build a relationship with, that's the one. So in John 4:35, it says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." That's a great verse. It's one that we recognize. Now, if I was going to explain this to someone that was unfamiliar with the Bible, which is a lot of people, right? What does that mean? So can you put that into words I could grab? So I'm gonna redo this. And so that we can, it was the way I would may explain this or rewrite it in a sense so that it makes sense to someone else. And here's what I wrote. It said, "Haven't you said, I have plenty of time to put this off before it is necessary? Haven't you said, I have plenty of time to put this off before it is necessary?" Christ says, "Open up your eyes and look at your community, for they are already in great need." Your community, however you define that, where you live, and I know you come from all different geographic areas, is already in great need. You do not need to walk into this building to see that. If that's when you first notice it, you're missing things. Your community, the people around you, are already in great need. In your bulletin, with permission, I asked a question. And if you would take a look at your bulletin on the left, the inside front page on the left, there is a question there that you can read, but I'm going to read this as well. And I truly want us to think about what this looks like. So if this physical structure, when I say church in this sense, I'm referring to this physical structure, was wiped off the face of the earth, and I, you know, and if Hurricane Matthew came up, I may not be here, for one, if the hurricane came up, and it might have wiped the big hurricane, right? Could have wiped it off. But if it did wipe off the face of the earth, this church, would the community around this structure and beyond, would the community notice? Other than the physical structure is gone, what would be the impact? And here's the question. What would be the impact on their own personal lives? Wow, that was a great building. Or, wow, we have lost something significant here in my life. And that's the impression, or that's the message we want to carry into our neighborhoods. Not that it's this physical structure, but you are part of a church here. And your interaction with your community is vital. And that if something changes, they would notice. If you died tomorrow, would your neighbor notice? Could have something like, oh yeah, heard he died a couple of weeks ago. Nice person, didn't know him well. Our neighbor, several years ago, lived by himself, kept by himself, tried to give him a gift, he'd take it, and then he'd give me one back. So kind of got the message. He didn't want to be beholden to people. But he was a really nice guy. But you know, one day, and we didn't check on him all the time because he kept very private. I knew he was there. We'd always say hi at the mailbox or whatever. We live out in the country. But one day, it was police cars and ambulances in his yard. Like, what happened? So I went over, and I walked in the back door, around the back, and there he was, laying on the floor. And he had passed probably 2 or 3 days prior with no family. And, you know, what a sad way to go. So I'm the guy that says, wow, he died like 3 days ago. What happened? On another aspect, another example, neighbor down the road, very engaged with him. His wife died maybe 2 years ago now or so, and abruptly. But he's like the neighborhood guy everybody loves, and watched our dogs and took care of them. We saw him on, I think it was a Tuesday night, and went over, and he looked terrible. He was really thin, and he looked really bad. He'd been sick. He looked really bad, but we saw him Tuesday night, and Wednesday I drove down to his house, because he's down far enough to do that, and I had some food I was going to give him, and police cars and ambulance, and they were taking him to the hospital, and he passed away that night, peacefully. Love God. It was just like, whoa. So different connection, different awareness of the relationships that I was building or that we built in our own neighborhood. So is it, well, yeah, they died a couple weeks ago, nice person, didn't know him well, or is it, wow, I am so sad to have lost a good friend and someone I admired. Could be a she. She helped me out when I didn't even ask. She was always kind and loved God. I will truly miss her. And people say that about us, that we'll truly know there's a vacancy when we pass. Relationships are a measurement of how the body of Christ impacts the community. It's a kind of an interesting statement that I put up there. But I do believe that relationships are a measurement for how the body of Christ, you, impacts your community. So let's define community. Community is a social group of any size whose members reside in a specific locality, share government, and often have a common cultural and historical heritage, or as I say, hysterical heritage. All right, let's take a look at a little bit. So what I want to talk about is community. I'm going to shift gears a little bit, talk about your community, and I'm going to focus in on Camden, Wyoming. I know that the spread of the region is greater, but I'm going to focus specifically in this immediate neighborhood because that's kind of where we're chatting right now about. But this applies, you know, what you hear when we talk about community, you have to think about your own community as well. So faith exists within the Camden, Wyoming Town Center. And if I recall, if I looked at this right, I think the church resides almost dead center in your county. I'd have to recheck that. I believe that I saw that last week. Here's some interesting things, and you can read that second line down. Go ahead. Actually, you can because the words are underneath it. So more Czechoslovakian and Jamaican ancestry people live in this community. Czechoslovakian. Wow, that's like Thessalonians to a kindergartner. All right. Live in this community than nearly any neighborhood in the U.S. Interesting. Well, I don't know why, but it's just interesting. 0.7% of the five-year-olds and above primarily speak Urdu, E-U-R-D-U, and that is it right there, a national language of Pakistan. Did you know that? Did anybody know that? I'm just kind of curious. I had no idea. In our neighborhood, they speak primarily Khao. All right. And horse. All right. Yeah, and the cows were working the other day. So, slide 6 here. Culture. Get myself distracted. Culture primarily is made up of Irish, German, and English folks. Interesting. Okay. I'm not surprised on the German side, being one. Ancestry is primarily Italian and Puerto Rican. And you're kind of a spread out community here. You got this major Route 13, where am I, that way? Wherever I am. Kind of dividing your community, really, in a sense. Well, I think and by the way, this Camden, Wyoming, it's called a census tract. And is how the U.S. divides communities down. So that's where I'm pulling this information out of. I didn't make it up. All right. So statistically, I believe it's 56% are married. But a couple other stats there. You've got a decent divorce rate. No, or not decent, a sad divorce rate. And in many single families. Kids, 18% of them are... I did hit that. 18% of them are below the federal poverty line. That's interesting numbers. I see that. I see it in a lot of areas I wouldn't expect to see it. I would look at the neighborhood and not know those things. But I'm surprised how many areas I've worked in or spoken at where that's a high number. 24% are under 17. And your chances of becoming a victim in Camden, Wyoming, of a violent crime are 1 in 320, or of a property crime are 1 in 11. So that kind of gives you a general walkthrough of your physical community and understanding your neighborhood around you. This is something that looks familiar. I took it off your website. You've got your physical structure here. Just kind of talk about the building and when it was built, and then the two major additions. And by the way, I can't see that because I don't have my glasses on. I can look here. 1994. Let's see, that's 22 years since you had a construction. So what are you doing? Come on, you're due. You're overdue according to the graph. There's something must be going on. All right. Maybe a water park out in the parking lot. All right. Kind of working on that right now, right? So let's talk about being connected here. All right. Actually, let me step back. So before I go off this slide, in 62, when the building was built, it was designed in the context of what was needed in 62. Same in 74 and the same in 94. So the church is the physical structure is always built to what's needed in the context of that time that it was built in. So my question for you is, if it was to be built today, what might it look like? Well, what most churches are building today is more of a multi-purpose building. So it's a big structure in room with multi-purpose use. It may or may not have classrooms. And because I think what's happening here is we're seeing more of across the U.S. is we're shifting from a culture of come to us to more of a culture of go to them. And that's really what we're talking about here is your community. Yes, we come here and we are taught and we have this facility and all of that about it, but it's really about connecting with your community, and churches are leaning more towards going out into the community and ministering. Okay, now let's talk about relationships and connected. All right. Ministry is all about relationships, individuals in Christ who live in and impact the community around the church and the neighborhood. So who's the model for relationships? Jesus, right. Christ is the model for relationships. You can't go wrong there, right? So, Christ connected with people. He entered as a human. He grew up as a human. He loved God. He lived his life for his Father. He was baptized, denied evil. We can connect with all of those aspects, should be able to connect with all of those. He lived his faith. He taught it. He preached it. He did healing. He served. He lived what he said. Some of those examples, the disciples, you know, he went where they were, and he gathered them to him as he went. And there was a demon-possessed woman that he ministered to, the two blind men. These are all in, you know, Matthew and Mark. The woman that bled for 12 years, the deaf mute, the woman at the well. Christ built relationships. He went where people were. He didn't stand in the synagogue and say, come. That was the others, right? That was the Pharisees and the scribes. Christ was in the community. I don't know. I'm sure there's a number. I should have looked this up, but he walked his community. I have no idea offhand how many miles. I can't even fathom that. I'd have to look at the maps. But he went to the community, and his community was beyond Jerusalem, as we know. People were attracted or came to him. Why? What attracts you to someone? I find that attraction, in the correct sense, is because how they come across, their reputation, their sincerity. Sincerity is key when you work, especially when you're working with kids. But when you're working with anyone, it's sincerity. Are you a sincere person? Do people see you that way? Christ did that. And he also served them in hope and in healing. He discipled others. We know about that. In Matthew 5 through 7, we have he spoke through the time up, I think it was the Beatitudes, and up on the mount, and he preached, but he gave lessons, and he taught the people the truth. And he duplicated his ministry, his impact, by passing it down to others. He taught, and they passed it down. So the question is, what then should we be doing? Well, we need to live out what we believe. And we need to serve so that others see you are genuine in meeting their needs. So serving is sometimes meeting their needs, right? Sometimes those are physical needs, real needs that are temporal in a lot of times, sometimes longer term, but you meet their needs where they are at, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Go where the people are. Get into their living rooms. Get into their front yards. Meet them at the mailbox, at the post office, wherever. But go where they are. You know, your Jerusalem, in terms of this physical location, is right here. It's right out those doors. As soon as you step out on that sidewalk, you're in your Jerusalem. And do we act that way? Do we build relationships that way? The truth is, whether you have thought about this or not, you are already living out what you believe. You know, there's no gray in faith, right? I think we know that. You're either saved or you're not saved. You either know God and believe in him or you don't. If you haven't decided, then you don't. There's no in between. It's a hard fact to teach sometimes, especially with kids, that you either believe or you don't believe. And it's the same way, and I'll say this again, the truth is, whether you have thought about this or not, you already live what you believe. So what are people saying, seeing? And I say the same thing for me as well. Relationship building must be who we are because it is who Christ was and who God is. Luke 10:27 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind." Wow. Is that hard? All the time? Nonstop? Yeah, that's hard, isn't it? But it says you shall, not you will, or think about it, but you shall. That is what you strive towards. But the last part of that is really important. This actually kind of hit me last night as I was kind of wrapping things together. It says, "And your neighbor as yourself." And I thought, well, I love me. No. All right, that was bad. We do love ourselves, whether we admit it or not, right? But that's not what this is about. And that's kind of what threw me off a little bit. That's not what this was about. This was regarding the story around the Good Samaritan. But this is about loving others without regard to their nationality, their culture, their skin color, their race, their ethnicity, their background, their income, their outcome, whatever. It's about loving others without regard to any of that. Because as soon as you apply that, you're judging. And those others look at me and say, well, he's from a different people. He's got a different culture. And they look at us that way too. So we have to love regardless of how they are, where they were raised up, what they believe or don't believe, what their practice is. We just need to love people. And I think that's, you know, the message this morning is just about community and relationships. So as you leave here, I really challenge you to walk in the truth of God and to really be challenged in the sense that I want to make a difference. And the person you thought about when I first started, or the family, go make a difference today. Go touch a life. There are ministries that happen in here, in this building, like Awana and Word of Life. And I'm sure there are adult ministries as well, and many other things going on, but they're happening here. You know, people, it's hard to get people to come to church. Does anybody agree with that? Yeah. So did God say bring them to the building? No, he said you're the church. Go out into your community and make a difference. And I challenge you and urge you to do that. And for myself as well, no matter where we are, be a light. Be salt in the world. Be a light to others around you. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the grace and goodness that you give us and for loving us, Lord, even in our miserable self sometimes that just is challenging. Lord, you forgive us, you care for us. But Lord, even more so this morning, Lord, we recognize that you love everybody. And it grieves your heart, Father, to lose even one. And the reality is, they're not all going to be saved, because that's the choice that people make. But Father, help us to be the person that brings truth and brings sincerity into the lives of our neighbors. And that we won't avoid the eye contact. We won't avoid the conversation or scoot down the other aisle when we see them in the store. But Father, we'll come alongside of them and say, hi. And Lord, help us to be bold in that and to do that with a real heart that desires to see relationships change, Father. You did that for us. Lord, you gave up everything for us, for everybody that ever was and ever will be poured upon this earth. God, help us to do what we do to your honor and glory. Give us the boldness, give us the wisdom, the insight. And Lord, we ask that you would open up the doors, the hearts of the people that we connect with, and that we will be a light for them and an encouragement. And Lord, in our own personal lives, you will continue to build in us a desire to love you greater each day as we see how wonderful and great and awesome truly you are, Lord. We'll give you the praise this morning in Christ's name. Amen.